Today on Vox Talks Economics, carbon tax aversion. Welcome to Vox Talks Economics from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Every week we bring you the best new research in economics, so remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Instagram. Well, this summer, Vox Talks is bringing you interviews from CEPR's Paris Symposium. A few years ago, the Gilets Jaunes protesters in France wanted the government to freeze its rapidly rising carbon tax. Well, after a lot of protests, they got their wish. In the next decade, many governments will be imposing similar taxes, and they're likely to meet similar public criticism. But what motivates this? Do the protesters not think the tax works? Do they not think it's fair? Or just do they think they're going to lose out? Well, an ingenious post-protest experiment in France offers us some clues. Adrien Fabre of ETH Zurich was one of the researchers. Adrien, welcome to Vox Talks.
Thank you very much, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Remind us about the Yellow Vest protests. When did they occur? How widespread were they?
So it all started in November 2018. So this was the first protest. It followed a petition that gathered 2 million signatures very rapidly during the summer against rising fuel prices.
Mm-hmm.
That was the motive for the first protest, but the demands were much broader and were for more purchasing power, anti-elites, and for more democratic institutions. Then in December, the government announced that they will freeze the carbon tax at its current level, and it only slightly decreased the protest because precisely they were protesting for more broader reasons. And then it's only 3 months later, so in March or April, when the government announced a referendum from citizens' initiative, that the protest really vanished.
I remember they were extremely widespread. The protest really did snowball, didn't they?
It was a very interesting and original way of protesting because every day, on every crossroad, roundabout across France, people were gathering with this recognizable yellow jacket and talking about politics, sharing meals, laughing together, forming bonds. Every Saturday in Paris, where they would heavily demonstrate.
Why did the protesters initially focus so much on their objection to the carbon tax?
I think oil prices, gasoline prices are quite visible, and they are a symbol that can really push people to action. We saw that not only in France, but in Ecuador, in Iran, etc. There is another reason is that this theme of gasoline puts to the streets classes of people who are not used to that, who are not close to the left or to the workers' union.
Mm-hmm.
And it can bring a broader diversity and number of people in the protest than more left-wing themes.
Now, you surveyed French people after the protests about how they would respond to an alternative way to structure this carbon tax called tax and dividend. Whose idea is tax and dividend? How does it work?
This idea has been in the air for decades.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot pinpoint who came up with that because it's the benchmark ideas for economists that with the revenues from the tax, you should finance the same cash transfer to each household.
Mm-hmm.
We call it the dividend. And this makes the measure progressive, meaning that poorer households, because they consume less fossil fuels than average, but they receive the same dividend as everyone else, they would gain on average from the tax and dividend policy, while richer households would tend to lose. And the French carbon tax didn't have this dividend component, so the revenues accrued to the general budget. So it made the measure regressive. And this explains why people protested against it.
When we talk about environmental policies, we hear the phrase a just transition a lot in talking about the transition to a low carbon economy. Theoretically, then, is the structure of tax and dividend more just than the carbon tax that France was going to implement?
Definitely, precisely because it's progressive.
Mm-hmm.
Also, at the same time where the government implemented the carbon tax, they repealed the wealth tax. So the economic policy of the government was disliked because it was unfair, disliked by a majority of the population. And we may have avoided the yellow vest had the government redistributed the revenues of the carbon tax instead of repealing the wealth tax.
So, Adrian, when you put out your survey talking about this new formulation for the tax, I would expect that everyone would approve of that and think it was a good idea. Did they?
It's also what we expected. Mm-hmm. We thought, okay, people don't want to this unfair carbon tax. They will approve of a progressive carbon tax. Mm-hmm. And we were striked by the result that only 10% of the respondents approved of our tax and dividend proposal.
Gosh.
While 70% rejected it. The rest didn't answer.
Mm-hmm. So did the respondents who would have benefited just not believe that they would have benefited, or did they not believe it was progressive?
Exactly, both of that. Uh-huh. And they also didn't believe that it was effective at reducing emissions.
Oh.
So 14% of the respondents perceived that they would win from the reform, although from our computation, 50 to 70% of people are found to be winners.
This seems to be a breakdown in trust. Is it the people don't trust the government because they don't think the tax is fair, or is it the other way around?
So the causality runs both ways. We demonstrate that in the paper. It runs from pessimistic perceptions of the properties of the tax, that it's unfair, that I would lose out, that it's not effective. Then this translates into rejection of the tax. They also run into the other direction. People like the yellow vest. They feel close to them. They have an identity of understanding the yellow vest, and the yellow vest are associated to an opposition to the carbon tax. And most people haven't thought deeply of this tax. And when we talk to them about something that resemble the carbon tax, that is the tax and dividend, then they reject it. And because they have this negative opinion, they tend to associate pessimistic properties with that. And the question of trust is also important, but we see in our survey that it's not just distrust of the current government, it's distrust of any possible government and the elite in general.
Oh dear. As economists, we all think that what will cure this is just giving people some more information. They're just not informed well enough. You tried this experiment, didn't you? You tried giving some of the respondents more information about the tax. What happened then?
Very few people changed their mind.
Ah.
And people tended to change their mind more when we provided bad news. So to whom we said, oh, you will lose from the reform, because we computed using their energy characteristics that they entered, whether they would win or lose from the reform. To some of them, we said, oh, you would lose. And they agreed with us. To the majority of whom we said you would win from the reform, most of them didn't believe us. Just a disclaimer, our information provision was not so efficient at changing their mind. Doesn't mean that information cannot help, because perhaps we didn't convey the information well enough. And actually, in a subsequent survey where we provided the information in the format of pedagogical videos, it was much more effective at changing people's beliefs.
However, we're still left with this problem of pessimism, aren't we? Do we know what the mechanism is that's driving this pessimism? Is it self-interest? Do they just not have a faith that policies work? Do they not think that the policies are going to help enough people?
It's somehow explained by the context. So we surveyed French people 1 year after the yellow vest, and the rejection of the carbon tax almost disappeared. So it was 50-50 for or against. And same thing in other countries, same thing 1 year before the yellow vest. So the negative attitudes towards the carbon tax or the tax and dividend was driven by the association with the yellow vest movement that most people supported, I would say.
The yellow vest movement, though, it has struck fear into policymakers everywhere, hasn't it? Because they were so successful and they were so committed. So I would imagine that many policymakers around Europe, around the world, will have seen what's happened in France, and they will be rethinking their attitudes to carbon taxes and how they implement them. From what you have learned, what would you advise them about how they structure their tax and how they communicate that tax to the people?
what is becoming a consensus among climate economists, that the rising carbon taxes in the near term, especially given the Ukraine war and high oil prices, is not on the table. It's not necessary as fuel prices are already so high.
Mm-hmm.
But what we need to do in the next 5 years or 10 years is heavily invest in public transportation infrastructure, in, how do you say, borne de recharge. So to plug in electric cars.
Charging
points for electric cars, thermal insulation of buildings, heat pumps, etc. So help people, especially poor people, to change their equipment. And tell them in 5 years from now, we will increase step by step progressively the carbon price so that in 20 years from now, it will be very expensive to use fossil fuels. So tell people, we're going to help you change your equipment. And in 10, 20 years from now, having fossil fuel equipment will be very expensive. At the same time, communicate about the progressiveness of the measure, because we say we will help poor people in the next 10 years and we will redistribute revenues of carbon pricing when it will be in place, which will also help poor people.
Well, let's see what happens. But it has been a very instructive protest and a very interesting piece of research you did on the back of it. Adrian, thank you.
Thank you very much, Tim.
The article is called Yellow Vests, Pessimistic Beliefs and Carbon Tax Aversion, and the authors are Thomas Duen and Adrien Fabre. It was published in the American Economic Journal, Economic Policy, Volume 14, Number 1, that's February 2022. This has been a Vox Talk recorded live at CEPR Paris Symposium 2022. Each week we bring you the most important latest research. So subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And when you subscribe, there's more than 200 episodes now. So whatever type of economics you like, there's a Vox Talk waiting for you.